왕다 드네니 아 주상제 위치에 배 님부터 장주 무슨 냠네 지하듯이 다 장주 무슨 냠네 제니 다 드네 라미야 드야리야 스르는 스르 제니 뭐 로고야지 처그리 다 이제 저래 근데 이모 인도산에 다 람주베 때 아니 무슨 소보지다 아 고야디 개침물이 사진들 이모 인도산에 주저 내리 탐제 캠베 고마를 레디 이내 제 주발라 네버도 문들 르데 아니 무슨 소보지다 에 가서 올 거기 네버 체님 다 디타네 로고야래 사진들 이모 인도
呃,你要能够做呗,告诉我嘞,米家人不急,南京街外国王主要是这些,因为,拉人家人都是啥呢?当然,这叫我起码,他吃了没吃了呀,呃,成熟个心,娘们去推下去,留点生活重要的,就说的,谈过的主播要的。在这里印度,我们都居民给你主要去过要的。
So yeah, we spoke about how bodhicitta is the essence of the practice, the core practice, and this cultivation of the bodhicitta requires to be undertaken through successive lifetimes. So although our ultimate object of aspiration is the attainment of what is called the definite goodness, particularly the enlightened state of full enlightenment of the Buddhahood. But although that is our ultimate aim, the eventual aim, but in order to achieve that aim, we need to go through successive life forms, which is suitable for undertaking this practice on a continual basis. And that the appropriate life forms is the birth as a human being or birth in the higher realms of existence. So it is necessary, therefore, to seek the conditions and the causes for ensuring a continual attainment of these higher realms, the birth in the higher realms, so that one can carry on with a practice that would eventually culminate in the attainment of Buddhahood.
대단하. 문도 주위에 최고르디, 기부 중국도 주위에 최고 차대요. 대네, 타바쌈, 민주방과 타바쌈 주위에 기부 중국 최고 차대요. 대네, 내일 털도 탐색해보고 고만 주위에 기부 중국 최고 차대요.
So, we can summarize all the aspects of the practice in the following. All the practices that are related to the achievement of a birth in the higher realms, they belong to the class of the initial scope, and all the practices that are related to the attainment of liberation from cyclic existence and the elimination of afflictions, the defilement of afflictions, and that belongs to the practices of the middling scope, and all the practices that are specifically related to the means of attaining the omniscient state of Buddhahood, and those are those belong to the supreme capacity or supreme scope.
다른데 가서 시원한 시리 기부 충분한 등 투명의 남을지 기부 준비를 남을이야 단 영화 코에 영화 시설이 있다 고요하고 선생님 네 이미지 기부 충분한 투명의 나다 남을이야 취하셔 두시인 말이 다 대단한. 소수여와 추월차스 제가 생일을 소수여와 추월차스 다 기부충은 그러시랬으려면 강시 텀에 강다가 코에 대화 잠다가 런이 텀도니 제가 기부텐에 탐하는 시 나? 단단한 시차 다 그래 다 간다 응원도 텁 다 땅에 넘어래 나 쇼리신 물어 다 간다 했니 코에 대와 문들 류딘 다 추 랍신 두야게 땡 아라니 가수를 그게 문들 류딘 다 그게 들으셔 Tendiji, any? Tesamshi, that to bend the Kibutamasigares, Kibuchumsigares. They want to do the Kibuchum, the Kibuchum, the Tumum, the Lamu cigares, come there.
So, as I explained before, the main objective of the practitioner of this text, path, lamp for the path, are really those who seek the attainment of full enlightenment of Buddhahood. So the practices that are explained as part of the initial scope and middling scope are in fact prerequisites, or they are common aspects of the path. So we now read from the text where verse 3 reads, "Know that those who by whatever means seek for themselves no more than the pleasures of cyclic existence are persons of the least capacity." So the main point of this verse has already been explained, that this refers to the practitioners of the initial scope, where the primary objective is to seek the means of attaining birth in the higher realms. So what are the means for attaining this birth in the higher realms, which is the objective, spiritual objective of the initial scope? This we spoke about, in fact touched upon it yesterday. And here, the key practice is really living one's life according to the ethical discipline of refraining from the 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind. And because these negative actions of body, speech, and mind are the principal causes that lead an individual to take birth in the lower realms of existence and undergo the sufferings of the lower realms. And therefore, by consciously and deliberately adopting an ethical discipline and refraining from these actions constitute establishing the methods or means by which one attains freedom from the lower realms of existence. So what are those 10 negative actions that one must refrain from? There are three actions of body, these being taking life or killing, stealing, refraining from stealing, and from sexual misconduct. So three bodily actions, and then four verbal actions, these being telling lies, engaging in divisive speech, using harsh words or harsh speech, and engaging in senseless, causeless, or frivolous speech. And then there are three mental actions, which are covetousness, ill will or harmful intent, and harboring wrong views.
Tatala, any Tachima Nandrule Tare, Nandrule Tane, and Mondulu to Walla, Chima Tanigi, Lochayada, Chima Tere, Tuptaba Niche. That Chima Tere, Tuptaba de Landes, Landes, Casola, Landes, Yichi near Tane, Mugiju Sulla said. Telea Landa Taji Tawalia, Yijini Valia, Sanji Gibuleta, Sanji Yishi, Paji Drawing, we are it. Don't a gambler, Lerjakumi, a lender, Lingu, 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 Lingu 탄저 탄지 내가 치워 메다 왕년도 동에 장부를 낸데 디디
So it is by living out the ethical discipline of refraining from the 10 negative actions that one seeks freedom from birth in the lower realms of existence. So therefore the practices that are involved for the initial scope primarily of two categories. One is, one part of the practice is to engage in the training of mind so that one cultivates genuine aspiration or wish to gain freedom from lower realms of existence. And the other is to then cultivate the means by which one can achieve that aim. And the means here refer to cultivating the understanding of the laws of cause and effect, particularly that of karma, and then living according to the law of karma by abstaining from the negative actions of body, speech, and mind. And this is, in fact, the precept that one takes as a result of taking refuge in the three jewels, because without having some understanding of the nature of the three jewels, one will not be able to appreciate the important aspects of the law of karma. So therefore, in this practice, you need both going for refuge, taking refuge, and then living out the precepts of that refuge, which is to live according to the principles of karma, the law of cause and effect. And so one needs to cultivate conviction in the law of karma and also go for refuge. And in order to do that, one must first cultivate the genuine desire to seek freedom from lower realms of existence. And in order to do that, one must first develop some understanding of the intensity of the suffering of the lower realms. And this is done by reflecting upon the suffering of the lower realms and also appreciating the transient nature of one's life. And in order to fully appreciate the importance of gaining a favorable rebirth to engage in practice, one must appreciate the preciousness of the opportunity that that one has right now as a human being. Therefore, it is important to realize its value and also the opportunity our human existence provides us. So in this way, we can see how all these various elements of the practices are part of this the practices of the spiritual practices of the initial scope. So you have recognition of the recognition of the preciousness of human existence and the opportunity it accords us, recognition, the understanding of the suffering of lower realms of existence, and going for refuge, developing conviction in the law of cause and effect, understanding the transient nature of life. All of these, you can see that they are related, interrelated, and they constitute the practices of the initial scope.
In fact,
some of the Tibetan masters have said that when reflecting upon the value of human existence and its preciousness, these Tibetan masters have made the statement that it is important for us spiritual practitioners to ensure that the human life that we have becomes truly precious, something that becomes a source of jewel, something that can lead to goodness. It is important to ensure that our human life does not become a source of our own downfall, something that brings disaster to oneself. So what we are involved here by engaging in these practices is, in fact, we are engaged in a process of training the mind. It is through engaging in a training of mind, it is through disciplining our mind that we are trying to bring about transformation, not only at the mental level, but also at the level of our bodily action. And so, starting from the practices of the initial scope, which involves adopting the ethical discipline of refraining from 10 negative actions, what we are doing is not living an ethical discipline which is somehow imposed from outside, like a law or according to some dictates, but rather it is something that is voluntarily embraced on the basis of understanding of its value, that you embrace this discipline for yourself. And so it is in fact a form of self-discipline that you embrace for yourself. And through this process that one can expect to effect change. Because if the discipline is your discipline is externally imposed according to the authority of some body like court or law or whatever, then its impact in the mental training may not be very effective. So in order for it to be effective, the discipline has to be voluntarily embraced, and it has to be a self-discipline where the discipline is adopted on the basis of fully understanding its values. And so, and therefore, in order to develop this full understanding, you need to listen to someone who has that insight, who has that understanding. Therefore, in Buddhism, when we relate to the Buddha Shakyamuni, we relate to the Buddha as a teacher. We refer to the Buddha as the teacher. For us Buddhists, the Buddha Shakyamuni is not, our relation to Buddha Shakyamuni is not like relating to a creator, all-powerful creator. Rather, we do not expect the Buddha to have all the power over our destiny, holding all the power over our destiny. But rather, we relate to him as a teacher. And in fact, Buddha himself has stated in the sutras that oneself is one's own master, and oneself is one's own enemy. So the point he is making is that one's own future destiny really lies in one's own hands. And so one can say that in order to develop a proper understanding of the practices, we need to rely on a teacher who is qualified in that he or she represents the tradition that is stemming from the historical Buddha Shakyamuni. So one could say that, one can imagine there being an uninterrupted lineage of a custom or a tradition or whatever you may call it in a conventional language, that custom or the tradition has been maintained uninterrupted, and the teacher, a qualified teacher, is someone who has inherited that body of knowledge and body of insight. And so, therefore, since our practice depends, success of our practice depends upon learning it from a qualified teacher, we find the role of teacher being taken as very important in the Buddhist practices. And to emphasize this point, we find even in the scriptures that all the very detailed qualifications of the teacher are mentioned in the scriptures, starting from the Vinaya teachers, the monastic discipline teachers, up to the teachers of such high levels of Vajrayana practices like Guhyasamaja or Kalachakra. And all of this shows that that the importance of teacher and the importance of one's teacher having all the qualifications. Because otherwise, if the teacher does not possess these qualifications prescribed in the scriptures, then there is a danger that the practitioner, the students, may be let down.
lamrim chigengi lama di ane dorigena songwa na shingi chwe chunden shikwe songwe shingi tuwa, shiwa, nyeshiwa lawasubu yandere bache yandere thakwa ane chwe tenpa la chik zamba di jawa ane taba jashimu chini lungi chukwa kasa就是用那种真是弄不出听你这么多道话是吃鸡大米道吧道门那样就吃鸡大米给他夸一点吧但这些的那么送给南山给西里古那么的卡萨的大米但卡萨的那么去大米差了一差了一路往的前但到底见你路里呀他吃鸡大米的卡萨的米就差了一下但是呢马开了
and
rangi gyu dulu tenyang ene jik dhruve yandan du ming takbe jik da yandan negara yandan kasore yandan tang cik dhru budi kanta jik dhruve yandan du ming takbe yandan gari yabe mifens gyawet daba chida tumbe gyu tuwa chik gugle yis gyawet daba chida tumbe gyu tulu kares lavna luji nishu tombe tsirim rata kanta lumaag nishu tombe tsirim semse jik tinginzi tene nelu dame bete konanye tonne shirib chenye oda desumbudu kohre desumbudu wa
now in the context of lamrim meditation lamrim practice the stages of the path which is the main theme of the text that we are discussing so in the context of the stages of the path teachings the qualifications that are required on the part of the teachers are mentioned in Asanga's ornament of Mahayana scriptures where he lists 10 such qualifications these being that the teacher must possess realizations of the three higher trainings of morality concentration and wisdom must also be industrious in one's dedication to living in ethical discipline he or she must have vast knowledge of the scriptures and he or she must have if not a realization of emptiness as described in the ornament of Mahayana scriptures as realization of the selflessness of phenomena or at least a deep understanding of this no self and then he or she must be eloquent and skillful in his or her speech and also the teacher must possess compassion finally the teacher must be resilient so that he or she does not feel a kind of demoralized and feel fatigued when teaching and so these are the principal qualities that one must seek in a teacher of Lamrim and when discussing these qualifications of the teacher in his great expositions of the stages of the path, Tsongkhapa makes a sort of a very concluding statement where he says that for someone who has failed to tame or discipline his or her own mind, since it is impossible for someone who has failed to tame his mind to discipline someone else's mind, therefore those who wish to act as teachers must first discipline their own mind. And when speaking about the method of disciplining this, it is not adequate simply to have one or two kind of partial realizations. Rather, the method of disciplining one's mind should conform to the overall teachings of the Buddha. And then he explains what he means by the overall teachings of the Buddha. Then here he explains this within the framework of the three higher trainings. In other words, the teacher must have understanding and some realizations of higher training in morality, higher training in concentration, and higher training in wisdom.
common sense species that got that can you believe in and go to look
and If, however, after having found a qualified teacher, even though the teacher may be fully qualified, but in certain areas, the instruction that is given to you, if you find it that it is contrary to the overall teachings of the Buddha, then it is stated, for example, in the monastic discipline scriptures, it is in the Vinaya, it is stated that if the instruction given by the teacher is in conflict with the teaching, then one must reject it. And similarly, we find in the scriptures, sutras, which was quoted by Tsongkhapa in his great exposition, that those instructions that conform to the general ethical norms must be followed. Those instructions that do not conform to the general ethical norms must not be practiced. Similarly, in the case of Vajrayana, we find in the 50 verses on Guru, it is explained that if an instruction that has been given to you by your teacher, if either you are incapable of fulfilling that advice, or if you understand that by implementing that advice that you would be causing more damage, then one needs to use common sense and explain to the teacher that the reasons why you cannot implement the advice that he has given. So these points are actually mentioned in the scriptures themselves.
In the
Tibetan tradition, there is a saying that.
Kosik 코프게 차진 샤다 참데 가서 들려야 냠버서 초가베 차산 서로 너 차산 중물다 좋아 서다 때는 니설 셰셰 자네 저 세상 어디 니설 야 늦지 샤요 가서 라마진 자디사 이렇게 돌이야 로마진 가지나는지 파교스 소민의 지체제 아니 네 로마디 사는한테 되게 담바르 신나서 삼네 다가 매버시면 그러지 똑바로 뛰는 시 제외다 딱그 견시다 상황도 좀 되는 데고 다 용시로 봐라 자 어디 딩에서 세상가 구르메지 토화 구르메지디 가사 규민 봐 지 코르피기 견으로 찾아로 슝그 코르디 찾아 여봐 들으실래 아니 코르 담바 찍찍 코르 도도 숨쉬는 거 딱딱하게 죽대지 다들 강사 거생 온도신의 숨쉬에 담받지 담바 지생 온도신 소 자유 뭐 있나 아니 강사 규민맘이 타바 메딩에 들려 아니 걸로도 돼야 되냐 그래
there is a Tibetan saying that for
캄글라마 캄글라마 오늘은 지금 코란 길로래 이제 싸게 거니 참 리스 마셔버려 배 캐베벤 남주 천대가 지금 한다 년근 주고사 년근 주고 콩이도 송샤 콩이도 송샤 담바 지진고 얻었죠 가사 가사 거쟁고 얻었죠 우리가 아래에서
that's temporary there is a tradition in Tibet where tremendous emphasis is placed on the authenticity of the lineage of one's teachings. In fact, there is a saying that the source of a pure water must be traceable to its origin in the pure snow mountains. In the same manner, the source of an authentic Buddha's teaching must be able to be traced to the Buddha, to the teacher. And this, I think, is very important that whenever we engage in Tibetan in Buddhist practice, and particularly those who consider themselves as followers of the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, it is important to ensure that your practice that you are engaging in is authentic, so that it is traceable to the through this authentic lineage of transmission. Because sometimes there is a danger that that somehow you know, when you detach it, alienate the actual practice from its authentic roots, then sometimes it is very difficult to differentiate what is a genuine Buddhist practice and what is not. In fact, these days there is a sort of sometimes a tendency, because of the so-called New Age phenomenon, a tendency to kind of take bits from here and take bits from there and try to come up with one's own kind of amalgamation, a kind of a mixture, and this may be fine, but if you are following a particular spiritual tradition like the Buddhist tradition, particularly Tibetan Buddhism, then it is important to ensure the purity of the lineage, that there is an authentic source. It is important, and how you do that is by ensuring that your understanding of the teachings really conform to the broad framework that is laid out in the writings of the great Nalanda masters, so that your understanding and practice conforms to the tradition that has been established in Nalanda. Of course, among the scriptures, generally speaking, one can say that there are two principal types of scriptures, which as a teacher from Kham, who had tremendous admiration for all the four schools of Tibetan Buddhism, although he was himself a Gelugpa, he made a distinction which I think is quite relevant. He made distinctions among the scriptures of two principal types. On the one hand are those scriptures that really present make a general presentation within the overall framework of the Buddha's teaching, such as those writings of the Nalanda masters. Then there are another category of teachings which are much more specific to a very specialized context, where and this would include in writing such as the Dohas, the songs, such as the Sarahas, Dohas, the experiential songs of Saraha, and also a very specific instructional text written by a teacher for a very specific individual. And sometimes you find experiential spontaneous songs called the Gurmas, and these are written really for specific context and specific individual circumstances, and one cannot, and these are really meant for very specialized circumstances where the individual for whose purpose the text is written is someone who has the basic understanding of the overall framework of the Buddha's path, and then also many other factors and conditions are ripe so that a particular teaching has a special kind of resonance, and it has this effectiveness. And this is analogous to, for example, in the Vinaya, according to the Vinaya, during the time of the Buddha, it is said that there is one particular type of rituals where the candidates were so ready that one need not go into the go through the elaborate ritual of the whole ordination ceremony, but rather the Buddha's simple statement, come over here, and it's Sushop in Tibetan, come over here, that constitutes the actual ceremony of ordination. And in fact, there was also a story in Tibet of a Lama who was requested by one of his disciples for a specific instruction, and the Lama was in a rush, and he said, go away. And in fact, the student was said to be so ready that he or that person felt this instruction, this statement, go away, to represent a profound instruction. And in fact, it is said to have led to his realizations. But these are very individualized circumstances, and therefore it is important to know that one cannot universalize from these specific texts that are meant for specific context into an overall understanding of the Buddha's path.
Yangi prejudice ge chure. And the Dzogchen Khyentpo Myintse saji da sha shi che long jo re. Kham. Sa tha sa de de ga da amdu ji. Ko di la me sa ge. Dzogchen chi shuo shi min sa. Yang Dzogchen chi shuo chi je. Lama 다
I'll give you another example. There was a story of a great Dzogchen master from Kham, who was known as Khenpo, the Abbot Nisun, Khenpo Nisun. He's no longer alive. But I heard from one of his students, and when this Dzogchen master came to Lhasa, and the student went to see him. This student, actually, the Lama was in Kham, and the student who was in Lhasa went deliberately to seek out the Dzogchen master. And after having heard about him, he felt tremendous devotion to the teacher, and when he actually met him in person, and the teacher was reading a text, and as he approached him and prostrated saw him, the student was so moved to tears, and he felt a tremendous devotion and a fervent kind of a sense of connectedness, and so he felt tears in his eyes, and afterwards when the teacher stopped reading the text, the student approached him and asked him to give an instruction, and the teacher told him, "You don't need an instruction now. You already have received it right now." And the point is that because the student was so ready, the simple encounter, face-to-face encounter, was adequate to really give rise to the realization. So this shows that when all the conditions are ready, then even single incident can really trigger the realization. But on the other hand, if the conditions are not ready, then even if you attend Kalachakra initiations, which takes days and days, hardly anything will happen. The point I'm making here is that it is
important.
So the point I'm making is that it is very important for us to try to develop our understanding of the teachings on the basis of these texts that are written within the general framework of the Buddha's path. And because if you have that kind of deeper understanding of the overall aspect of the path, then one will be in a position to understand the profundity of those texts that are really written for specific circumstances. It's not so much a general presentation, but it's more the presentation made within the context of an overall understanding of the Buddha's path, overall framework of the Buddha's path. So it is important to develop that kind of understanding so that then you will be able to appreciate the significance and the meaning of those texts that are written for more specialized context. Whereas if you lack this first kind of understanding, which is grounded in an overall understanding of the Buddha's path, then there is a danger of misunderstanding when you approach those texts that are really written for a specialized context.
Another
example I can give you is that in the Tibetan tradition, we all
Milam
In the Tibetan tradition, there is a recognition of the six yogas of Naropa being representing a very profound instruction of practice. However, if the practitioner of the six yogas of Naropa lacks the kind of understanding that I've spoken about, for example, Lama Tsongkhapa has also written a separate commentary or guide to the practice of the six yogas of Naropa and has praised this practice tremendously. So, however, if the practitioner of this profound instruction, which are the six yogas of Naropa, lacks the understanding that I described earlier, which is the understanding of the overall understanding rooted in the overall framework of the Buddha's path, then it is very difficult to conceive how such an individual can really gain benefits from the profundity of this instruction. Because in themselves, many of these practices of the six yogas seem to be common to non-Buddhists, common with non-Buddhist schools as well. If you look at teachings of the other non-Buddhist schools, you find the practice of transference of consciousness, the power. You also find the inner heat practice in the non-Buddhist texts. You find also the holding the vast breath is also found in non-Buddhist texts. You find also a lot of techniques for bringing about the flow of the pranas and the energy and the drops within one's channels. We also find various techniques for practices of dream yoga. All of these, many of these can be found in the non-Buddhist practices. So there is nothing uniquely about Buddhists in these practices. However, if the practitioner of these six yogas grounds the practice in this deeper understanding of the overall framework of the Buddha's path, then of course one will be able to really benefit from the profoundness of these instructions. Now, as for the specific explanations of the topics of Lamrim practices, such as recognition of the preciousness of human existence, understanding the transient nature of existence, transient nature of life, and so on, and, you know, I shall not go into these details because a lot of these can be read from many books that are available now. To read from the text now, the verse 4 reads, those who seek peace for themselves alone, turning away from worldly pleasures and avoiding destructive actions, are said to be of middling capacity. And the destructive actions here does not refer to unwholesome actions in the sense of negative karma, but here destructive actions really refer to the origin of suffering, which are the karma and the afflictions, and particularly the afflictions. And therefore, those spiritual practitioners who aspires to gain freedom from these afflictions are practitioners of middling capacity, and the means by which they turn away from these is by eliminating the afflictions.
Thank you, Jinglia. Any, Nyala, Castle, Tabatini, Lotchania. Any, Tabatrebe, any lam, Chidawima, or that yidi, Ni, Sango, Nichen, Tabatini, Lotchamada, any cousin, Tabatrebe, lam, Temper. That Tabatini, Lotchamalia, any, Dodinko, Yimmy, Samba, Kunjuko, and Jurum Samba, Nigitane, any, Together.
And as for the various elements of the practices that are associated with them, practitioners of middling capacity, broadly speaking, again, it falls into two categories. One is the training of mind to cultivate the genuine wish or desire to gain freedom, so that's cultivating of renunciation. And the other one is the cultivation of the path that will bring about the fulfillment of that wish, fulfillment of that desire. And in order to train one's mind to cultivate the genuine desire to gain freedom from cyclic existence, one needs to reflect upon the defects of cyclic existence, and also one needs to develop an understanding of the causation that exists amongst the karma and the afflictions. So it is through these reflections one cultivates the wish to gain freedom, and then embarks upon the path to bring about that freedom.
当然，心里边呢，不能执着，执着，差的不差下面呀。可干那干那了，老子当他吃下那些，那不牛着的多啊。啊，当然，心里俺那是留不住下下呢，搞得这老气松的，可牛着多啊。生牛着呀，这个， kishi ko yorya ji me na ene ji lo ta da ro kal khan sa shibe ko yuwa de roshin ma ba ko kishi ma jur jin be zeg ko da de yin na ene yuwa roshin ma ba cha sa nga ma ze tong shu li ya yorya ye de ba shi yin chin je na de ko kishi ki yu ge ba de sa ba sa de ta kishi ki ji ya de ene jigo chin jung ki du sa ba ji any tanny, do you saw a terror wangi? Any gazing together, chumba there? Anyone gazing together, can't get ever a slumber? Ran gazing, you corangi, jigger than you do, gay on you. Just like gazing, you corre, jigger than you do, drumne, jigger than you do, give. So today in the gazi, tango, gazing ever to so, madebe, metabos on my imba. 계시 당고 계시 당고 능력이 되려 지게 당이도 좋습니다 말이에요. 자 이제 인도 계시 당고 능력을 믿으면 당신도 둘다 받지 다 아는 믿다고 해서 비셔야 돼요. 믿다고 차와지. 저자가 이제 인도 계시 당고 능력이야 믿으면 당신도 돼야지 육호랑 잡아도 능력 계시 육호랑 잡아도 두 현실을 잡는 거야. 자 이제 인도 주의 상황을 잡아도 세워서도 와 주의 상황이 와. 다 주의 상황제 다들 지르기 주실 저 강인의 주의 상황제 있어. 다 주의 상황제 주의 상황제 얘는 동요 이미 잡아도 여 말이 돼. 다 안다 급데 내린지 풍부디 셴부야. 내린지 풍부디 깨지게지 집에 다니래. 그 주의 상황제래. 스스로네 다디 주디 군중 라뉴니다 디나도 또 이니 뉴몽 상황제인 거지. 이니 거의부도 와. 자상가 내린지 풍부 깨지게지 제야디 주의 왕기 총어리, 주의 샹왕자리, 주의 몽고 왕기 총어리, 주의 머리배 왕기 총어리, 근데 이 머리배 샹왕자인 바 인데, 이는 동요어리도 와. 민성 보러 담으시고 지금 머리배 하세하게. 아니, 간다 앞에 몽, 몽고수도 마세요. 친실로 올로, 로도, 근데 지금 다 샹왕지, 샹왕기 정신이 있나? 다들 상부지 맨다 봐. 상황 맨다 봐. 민성어인데 봐. 다 상부 과야지도 와.
So we find that in the practices associated with the middling scope, when describing the path that that are the key for bringing about the liberation that one is seeking, the practices really. Is embodied in the practice of the four noble truths. So, and the first noble truth is the truth of suffering. And when teaching the truth of suffering, Buddha taught in terms of four characteristics of suffering. The first of which is the first being impermanence. So we find here a contemplation of impermanent to be an important part of the practice. We also found earlier, in the context of initial scope, the importance of reflecting upon impermanence. However, these two practices of impermanence are different. In the context of the initial scope, impermanence is understood more in terms of the transient nature of life, where impermanence is understood more at a kind of a gross level, where it is understood in terms of the possibility of cessation of a continuum at a certain point. Whereas in the context of contemplating or meditating the Four Noble Truths, the impermanence here is a much subtler one. And here, impermanence really refers to the dynamic nature of reality, where everything, all things and events, go through momentary change, moment by moment change in a dynamic process. That nothing stays still, and it is this understanding of this subtle impermanence which will then lead to understanding of the nature of unsatisfactoriness or suffering, and then on to understanding of no self or absence of selfhood, and this interrelatedness, this relatedness of gaining insight from impermanence to suffering and then to no or selflessness is explained in various texts, such as in Aryadeva's 400 verses, and also in Dharmakirti's Pramanavatika, exposition of valid cognitions. He explains how the insight into the former leads to the insight into the latter. From insight into impermanence leads to the insight into suffering, and then on to no self. So when we, so how do we understand this subtle impermanence? Here we can see that if we observe the world of phenomena around us, whether it is a big tree in front of us or including even a mountain, when we look at, when we observe them, if we feel as if there is no change, there is something that is kind of enduring. However, over time, over a period of long time, maybe a couple of years, or in some cases thousands of years or tens of thousands of years, these, even these seemingly enduring things change. And so the fact that they change is something that we can observe with our bare eyes. So in order to explain, account for this perceptible change, one has to accept that this process of changing must be occurring even on a moment-by-moment basis. Because if things do not go through a change on a moment-by-moment basis, then there is simply no basis for accounting for the fact that over time we detect a perceptible change. And so one can say that anything that can be perceived as having a changeable quality is subject to a change, a process of change on a moment by moment basis. And then the question is, you know, what brings about that change? What brings about, you know, what is it that makes something to come to cease? Do things and events require a secondary condition to bring about their cessation? The question, do they go through, do they cease, do they go through the process of cessation naturally? Here, what we can see is that it is not the case that things first come into being and then a secondary factor comes into play and makes brings about their cessation. In fact, the very cause that brought about the thing in question also brought about the thing in question is also the very cause that brings about the cessation. So all things and events come into being with, one could say, the seed for their cessation inherent in them. And therefore, this suggests that all things and events are under the power of their causes and conditions. So in other sense, they are other-powered. They are governed by other conditions. And in the context of our own conditioned existence, since our own existence is also on subject to the same nature of changing, then it is also governed by causes and conditions. And in the context of our conditioned existence, what are the causes and conditions? The causes here refer to the karma and the afflictive emotions. And particularly among the afflictive afflictions, the root is this fundamental ignorance. The fundamental ignorance grasping at things as inherently existent. And so if this is so, then we can understand that our very conditioned existence is under the power of this delusion, this this affliction and this ignorance. And even the very name, ignorance, suggests something wrong with it, something distorted. So long as we remain under the power of such a force, how can there ever be a room for lasting goodness? So in this, through this way, we will be then able to gain insight into the unsatisfactory nature of our conditioned existence.
Tan disu chigle ya tumhele ne tame sung se dyagi tin dreda chigle ani ta dui shawan shen 내내기 풍부도 주의 상황제리 교디 다 이게 안 돼. 근데 양아 주니 숨데 그도에 다 이거 처음에 머리부터 이게 다 상황이 차려요. 근데 얘도 머리가 순총하나 아니 머리에 다 가소래 땅다 아니 땀이 더 싫을지가 봐야지. 자, 근데 얘도 머리에 신이 다도 두바디 다 매라 이해 봐야지. 근데 얘도 다 가소래 땀이 남자리야 신은 나발레가지다 달리야 아니 지가소래 동반이 있어야 돼. 단 한 가지 신을 봐야 돼. 신 동반이 있어 놓고 여러 사람 시야 줘서 좀 하고 계속 해줘 주시. 단지 나도 주의시 좀 머리가 시원한지 머리가 틀렸다 남자와 주나서 뭐 머리가 자오지 튀튀는 사람 사무실 거래 이나 아니 머리가 견다지 다음에 또 싫어 냐지 거다 내가 이 신세. 참말로 소바 시다 사심으로 전주 시다 사심으로 해지 참소 뭔가 개미칠 신는 이거 사주 민성대 참말로 소바 이 시다 사심으로 주인의 머리보다 내가 용구래지 하야가 너지너지 누구야 말이. 자 근데 이제 이는 다음에 또 싫어려야 그싫어려야 다음에 또 싫어를 때 사심으로지 통불해야지 용대로.
And also we can understand this statement of how insight into impermanence can lead to insight into suffering and how insight into suffering can lead to insight into a no-self or anatman in the following way. Because once we realize that our very conditioned existence is under the power of afflictive forces such as fundamental ignorance, then we will also realize that it is only by generating insight into no self, which is the direct opposite of fundamental ignorance, that one will be able to dispel, eliminate this ignorance from within us. And therefore, one then develops the conviction for the necessity to generate no self, the wisdom of no self. Otherwise, one may get the impression that this whole discussion about emptiness and no-self is so complex. What is the point? What is the point of engaging in such complex processes? But once you realize that it is the fundamental ignorance that binds us to our conditioned existence, and it is...
这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这
you know, if we don't fully understand the importance of how it is by generating wisdom into emptiness, wisdom into no self, that one can bring about the elimination of this fundamental ignorance that binds us to our conditioned existence. If we do not appreciate that point, then sometimes we might wonder, what is the whole point of engaging these complex processes of trying to understand emptiness, which is so difficult and which is so complex. I can tell you a story. Once I gave an exposition on Nagarjuna's Fundamentals of the Middle Way, which deals explicitly with the topic of emptiness. And one of the students who did not have a prior background of sort of learning in great treatises, he made a comment to another colleague. He said, today's teaching session was a little strange because His Holiness began with the presentation of the Buddha's path, and really he built up the edifice, one layer at a time, and then all of a sudden, then he started talking about emptiness and the absence of inherent existence. So this whole edifice that he spent so much time building was then completely dismantled, and he couldn't really see the point. What was the point? So there is that danger. However, if you understand the importance of the need to generate wisdom into emptiness, as a means for bringing about the cessation of this affliction, and particularly fundamental ignorance, then one will recognize the value of deepening one's understanding of emptiness. And also, as Dhammakirti points out in his exposition of the valid cognitions, where he says that loving kindness, emotions such as loving kindness and compassion, they cannot directly challenge the fundamental ignorance. It is by cultivating an insight into no self that one will be directly able to counter the fundamental ignorance. So, having explained the various aspects of the training of mind to cultivate a genuine wish to attain liberation from cyclic existence, then the actual path, the means by which one brings about that freedom, is really explained in the within the framework of the three higher trainings.
Then
we read in verse 5, those who through their personal suffering truly want to end completely all the sufferings of others are persons of supreme capacity. So this refers to the practitioners of the great scope, where by taking their own personal experience of suffering as an example, as a basis, then they extend this understanding of suffering to other sentient beings, and then and recognize the fundamental equality of oneself and others insofar as the desire for overcoming suffering is concerned. Thus, extending this wish to be free of suffering towards all sentient beings who are as infinite as the expanse of space, and all the methods that are related to bringing about that goal belongs to the practice of the great capacity or great scope.
That's all. Any 成就少的心戒嘛，但是这个心戒了去，心戒呢，就把路落去是，明白？
And these practices are broadly, again, they fall into two broad categories. One is the all the practices related to occult and generating the altruistic intention, bodhicitta, and then the second category are all the methods for engaging in the bodhisattva practices following the generation of the altruistic intention. And as for the procedure for training one's mind in generating this altruistic intention, there are various methods and also processes. One method is the 7-point cause and effect method. The other is the method of exchanging and equalizing self and others. And as a result of either of these two methods or through the combination of these two methods, once one has gained the realization of bodhicitta, this altruistic intention, then the practitioner needs to affirm this by participating in a ceremony of affirming the aspirational aspect of bodhicitta. And having done that, this will be then followed by taking the bodhisattva vows.
Ta mewa junde du mebo ne da lo chang ya de de da thi ya no ko shi bon shin nin da de nin ji lo chang ya ge nin ji kha dung ne khang ge na we dung ne ge dung ne sung ge da ji nin mi di di rang den le ya gwan ni da dung ne de min de lo dung ne ji ji ju za wa nyu mo le ya da min de lo su cha go
계야 심지어 先进这个语言的
Now, as for the actual process of procedure for generating bodhicitta by following the 7-point cause and effect method, earlier I explained that in order to cultivate compassion, first one must cultivate the various components that are necessary for generating compassion, one of which is the deeper understanding of the nature of suffering, that you do not wish others to experience, you wish others to be free of. And this deeper understanding of suffering we discussed earlier, this understanding must be generated, must be cultivated on the basis of one's own personal experience of the various levels of suffering, and also on the basis of that insight into the nature of suffering, one must develop a deep sense of kind of a revulsion from the suffering and the genuine desire to seek freedom from them, and so that your desire to seek freedom from the suffering is really arises from a feeling of a sense of unbearableness towards your own suffering. So once you have that, then in cultivating compassion, you need to then extend this deeper insight into your own suffering. You must extend that onto other sentient beings, and then complement that with cultivating what I earlier mentioned. This is the sense of empathy with others, or the sense of connectedness with others. And it is in relation to this particular practice one can see the difference between 7-point and cause and effect method and the exchanging and equalizing of self and others method. So these two are two different methods of really cultivating this sense of empathy or sense of connectedness with others. In the case of 7-point cause and effect method, the approach, the main approach is to really cultivate a manner of relating to all beings by viewing them as one's most dear objects, such as seeing all sentient beings as one's mothers and so on, and then reflecting upon the great kindness of these sentient beings. Whereas in the method of exchanging and equalizing self and others, the approach is not so much viewing all beings as being mothers or one's kind of dear ones, but rather to in fact go further and to recognize even one's own enemies to be a source of tremendous kindness, and thus extending this recognition of the kindness of all sentient beings, regardless of whether or not they are one's close ones. And this is then followed by reflecting upon the disadvantages of self-centeredness or self-cherishing, and advantages or the virtues of the thought cherishing others' well-being, by finally concluding that the thought cherishing others' well-being is the source of all goodness and all virtues or all excellences, and the self-centeredness and the self-cherishing attitude of the thought is the source of all undesirable events, all negative consequences and all calamities. And through this way, one develops a feeling of empathy and connectedness and a source of kind of an intimacy with other sentient beings.
Tālo jāngni, tā tīnēki tāne pārlo pā jāngni, eni kālē kālē lē, eni chīgī, chī shiāntī tūñī kī lō chīgī, eni rīmbē rīmbē kī shūshū shūn rō tē chīgī. Tā tīnēki ñamñuṅ, eni kāngsāṁ chūñī sāṁ lē yā, tī tēmbar chāyā lē tū, eni mēmbā chāyā sūṅ hā sāyā, tā tī mēmbā chāyā sūṅ rū lā. Sīm chāyā tāmbā chāng chū chūṅ dābar chī wā tā tā, lāmā nāṁ chī tāmbā yā, yāngdā tāṁ nī shiā bā chā, sō sāṁ chī gu lā sō bā, 최대한 담주 응원샤라 매도 두근거보다 진주바리 쳐봐서 구산주를 선보이 쳐봤나 봐 된다장 장주님부터 두고 믿어봐야 생각이 구조순도 여러분들이 비밀 상황 쌓주는 태무자와 지는 당골 장부를 해서자 대내 순자 타자라 잘해서 응원들 그냥 소순도 계속당 치부소지 두면 너무를 하되 두면진의 두면 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 주제는 너 타반 내가 이 더번에버 담주를 장주선이 깨봐자 지금 단디기 양라도 먹어도 타네 다 땡기 통라 양라도 먹어도 다 땡 라메 통라 양라도 먹어도 땅네 아니 지르스베 가소리 넘버 쇼에 숨어 대체 다 대 팬리야 대전면 배선단이 깨베 연대 강이 뭐 되는 동북과 봐요 노래 참배도 주시 대인 돌아봐 라마 레년도 저게 전주 쓴 기연대 탐해 봐 넘버 10을 샤라 됐네 유진도 10年,不可能,英雄那可能就10年,叫做10,number10,10了。周边成熟,周边成熟,圣地原点,他们把number10,10了。10年,就真多。他说,杨那样的圣地,接着查,下去。同学,听见了吗?啊?
天天是不是那不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是不是
중에 콩샤와나 베이징 지역 도다래 대유선은 그렇다면 강도 세계 순정도 노드반 드치차 장주 쓴지 순한 거 대략해도 수치는 남괴 카운의 건강을 되는 대가 사고를 강계 제마 장이 산지 신금 산제 신남 미칸게 진진 땅에 군강디 지진고라 표 관계 태무 저기 전주신들 좀 처반님이 제발 봐. 대가 사는 거 실수. 전주만 배 선다 깨는 배가 무슨 군도 빼지 진진이 깨워셔도 막 전주 지게 싫어. 러버 용서 숨세니 무슨 처가 숨었지. 단 요즘 내야 돼. 요즘 돈이 너무 많아 봐. 양다 멤버 패원 주머니 소비시로 너무 빼는데 대신 배변 뛰는 게 바로 랑. 소소사바 리딩이 따도 당신된 바로 전주선배 동바에 겨워 주셨는데 소소사바 리딩 지시시베 시에바 상주반 상주변이 초인데 경호도 못하고 전주선배 사단은 수준 리우수 초가에 야다생이 되면 연락마산도 동바랑 동바 초가라 동배 초가라게 돈이 근시 동라는 동바 목순인지는 라마산도 시에바죠 대란 배변 딘자에 대달라마 많이는 대래 신행동 너바이 초가 양다 시에바 차 대체 대란 문신 장배배 아와랑자 규바이 지들 장수 투지고 잠베진의 산지시 경진도를 세워 드신들의 세티 공부남지 장하로 저배신 주신 도와타지 터더니 대다 코알 내주로 너슨 처에 생니도 선화장에 타더니 대내 수지 장수도 털기 봐도 미죠 상불자가 제시지 뒤는도 못 방어서 주름도 못 나가에 산지 지수 넣어서 더니 뉴에 수진 장수도 미주신 샘신 지기 줄이니 치면 못 내버 자 참에 선지미 집에 신문 타고 신다 남부를 장어 차 민이 송어 세바도 초주 따도 내버 남부를 내 다가 류나 나가게 탐색 중에 타고 차 이길 내가 다저리 미길라는 미소 저는 어디 대인 실수도 너무 송야 어 대인 말이 난 드네마 러블로 로스 뒤에 송기
So,
자다 무슨 척을 내야지 선이 비비시는 겁니다. 그럼 유사진 씨 하셔봐. 인지 가서 그럼 유튼데 선생님 가방에서 사면 어디 뛰어나 뛰든 유세 단 요즘 가세요 주주 나와요 언제요
So as a result of cultivating deeper understanding of these various methods and engaging in their practices, when one gains a certain level of realization of the various elements of the practice of generating bodhicitta, then at that point one needs to affirm it formally by participating in a ceremony of generating the mind of enlightenment, generating bodhicitta, the altruistic intention. And this is explained in the text from the verse 7. So this ceremony for generating the aspiration is explained from verse 7. We read, "For those excellent living beings who desire supreme enlightenment, I shall explain the perfect methods taught by the spiritual teachers." And then he explains the ceremony itself. Facing paintings, statues and so forth of the completely enlightened one, reliquaries and the excellent teaching, offer flowers, incense, whatever you have. With a seven-part offering from the prayer of noble conduct, with a thought never to turn back till you gain until enlightenment. And with strong faith in the three jewels, kneeling with one knee on the ground, and your hands pressed together, first of all, take refuge three times. Next, beginning with an attitude of love for all living creatures, consider beings, excluding none, suffering in the three bad rebirths, suffering, birth, death, and so on. Then, since you want to free these beings from the suffering of pain, from suffering and the causes of suffering, arouse immutably the resolve to attain enlightenment. Then, from the verse 12, the virtues, the benefits of generating this aspiration is explained. The qualities of developing such an aspiration are fully explained by Maitreya in the array of Trunks Sutra. Having learned about the infinite benefits of the intention to gain full enlightenment, by reading this sutra or listening to a teacher, arouse it repeatedly to make it steadfast. The sutra requested by Viradatta fully explains the merit therein. Now from this point onwards, the scriptural sources for these merits are given. So the verse 14 reads, the sutra requested by Viradada fully explains the merit therein. At this point, in summary, I will cite just three verses. If it possessed physical form, the merit of the altruistic intention would completely fill the whole of space and exceed even that. If someone were to fill with jewels as many Buddha fields as there are grains of sand in the river Ganges to offer to the protector of the world, this would be surpassed by the gift of folding one's hands and inclining one's mind to enlightenment, for such is limitless. Having developed the aspiration for enlightenment, constantly enhance it through a concerted effort to remember it in this and also in other lives, keep the precepts properly explained. So after this point is the ceremony for generating the bodhicitta, and then from verse 19 it explains the taking the bodhisattva vows. We read, without the vow of the engaged intention, perfect aspiration will not grow. Make effort definitely to make it, since you want the wish for enlightenment to grow. Those who maintain any of the seven kinds of individual liberation vow have the idea prerequisite for the bodhisattva vow and not others. The Tathagata spoke of seven kinds of individual liberation vow. The best of these is the glorious pure conduct, said to be the vow of a fully ordained person. According to the rituals described in the chapter on the discipline in the bodhisattva stages, take the vow from a good and well-qualified spiritual teacher. Understand that a good spiritual teacher is one skilled in the vow ceremony, who lives by the vow and has the confidence and compassion to bestow it. However, in case you try but cannot find such a spiritual teacher, I shall explain another correct procedure for taking the vow. I shall write here very briefly, as explained in the ornament of Manjushri's Buddha Land Sutra. How long ago, when Manjushri was Ambaraja, he aroused the intention to become enlightened. In the presence of the protectors, I arouse the intention to gain full enlightenment. I invite all beings as my guests and shall free them from cyclic existence. From this moment onwards, until I attain enlightenment, I shall not harbor harmful thoughts, anger, avarice, or envy. I shall cultivate pure conduct, give up wrongdoing and desire, and with joy in the vow of discipline, train myself to follow the Buddhas. I shall not be eager to reach enlightenment in the quickest way, but shall stay behind till the very end for the sake of a single being. I shall purify limitless, inconceivable lands and remain in the 10 directions for all those who call my name. I shall purify all my bodily and my verbal forms of activity, my mental activities too. I shall purify and do nothing that is non-virtuous. And as for the ceremony for generating the aspiration, the altruistic intention, we will perform that tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the verse has been distributed. There's a single loose sheet. No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was included in the booklet. Yeah, I think some people have on the back.
Mm-hmm. 자상가 자상가 아니 디지털 역시 시루세베다 멤버 쪽에 송두 여버 그 책이 선이 쪽에 아다 제 그저 두두 아다 기부 중문에마 송어지다 되게 안 들어오는 신체 아니 간이 당신이 아주 로자야다 내가 주도 몇 건은 신민을 자야도 되지 삼도 땅토는 양요래 아니 무심아 생계를 그도록 고도 수고 쉐인 그래
So tomorrow, we will begin the session with the ceremony for generating the aspiration, the altruistic intention. And then this will be followed by the blessing empowerment, the blessing initiation of thousand-armed Avalokiteshvara. Sorry, it's I think it's four-armed Avalokiteshvara according to Atisha's tradition. And so if in the process of the initiation or blessing ceremony, if time permits, then maybe we can also do the ceremony of taking the Bodhisattva vows, but we will see you know, how it goes. So tomorrow morning, among the members of the audience, those who consider themselves as practicing Buddhists, and especially those who have admiration in the practice of the Bodhicitta, it may be helpful if you can, before coming to the session, do some meditation by based on the text here, by sort of mentally reviewing the various topics, points of the practices of the initial capacity and middling capacity, and especially the practices that are, the teachings that are given in relation to the seven-point cause and effect method for generating bodhicitta and exchanging and equalizing of self and others, so that in a sense you will be prepared, you will have prepared yourself so that when you actually participate in the ceremony, your experience will be much stronger and there will be greater effectiveness.
Yeah.
So this is how one engages in the training of and generating the bodhicitta, the altruistic intention. And then after having generated this altruistic intention, what is the actual deed that one must engage in? What is the actual task? The task is to engage in the practice of the six perfections.
So the
deeds of the Bodhisattva, which are embodied in the teachings of the six perfections, sometimes when elaborated, they are also enumerated as ten perfections, where the sixth perfection, wisdom, is further divided into four, which includes the perfection of power, the perfection of aspiration, and wisdom, transcendent wisdom. And if condensed, sometimes the six perfections are condensed in terms of within the three ethical disciplines of a bodhisattva, these being the ethical discipline of ethical discipline of refraining from negative actions, and the ethical discipline of engaging in positive actions or wholesome actions, and the ethical discipline of working for others' welfare.
And I think
these three I think that these three, not only these three ethical disciplines of Bodhisattva are comprehensive, but also there is a definite order to these three, definite sequence, because in order to be effective in one's engagement in the ethical discipline of working for other sentient beings, first of all, one must have the ability to live this ideal, and for this it is necessary to engage in the ethical discipline of gathering virtues and engaging in the positive actions. And however, to engage in the positive actions, one must first refrain from the negative actions of body, speech and mind. Therefore, these three ethical disciplines of Bodhisattva are not only comprehensive but also their order of sequence is definite.
So,
although the, His Holiness said earlier that although the Bodhisattva practitioners' aim is really to help others, but in order to do that, one must first take care of one's own mental continuum. So it is not sufficient for a practitioner of bodhicitta to say, my only wish is to help others, work for other sentient beings, and then neglect entirely the need to purify one's own mind. That doesn't work. So it is inappropriate, as the Tibetans would say, to use the language of working for others' well-being, but in actual practice, doing nothing
not important. Okay.
So in the text here, from verse 32, then the actual method of engaging in bringing about this welfare of other sentient beings is explained. But it begins with the explanation of the practice of tranquil abiding, how to cultivate tranquil abiding, shamatha. And the significance of that is that in order to really work for the benefit of other sentient beings, it is helpful if one can develop a certain sensitivity to the need of others, have some kind of ability to discern what is appropriate to a level of teaching to other sentient beings. So here, Atisha describes in the text a method of cultivating some form of ability to kind of perceive others' mental states, in other words, clairvoyance or precognition. And however, these qualities, for these qualities, it is necessary to first gain the realization of tranquil abiding, shamatha. In any case, this tranquil abiding and the single-pointedness of mind, which is embodied in it, is very crucial element of one's practice. And although by itself, single pointedness of mind, the practice of tranquil abiding, is nothing unique. There is nothing uniquely about Buddhist. In fact, it is recognized as something that is common to both Buddhist and non-Buddhist traditions in India. However, this single pointedness of mind is a faculty that is indispensable for one's spiritual practice.
So we will
leave here.
Chanjo samjo rambo je ma je wa no je jo je je wa nya pa ma pa yo pa na kon do ta wa ro pa ma sam je da je da jo je nya do do je ta do chanjo sam pa pa ma su jo wa ta da kun ye ma lu jo je me jo se je je wa je ma da te ne ru wa me ve da ma da ga ma so da nan da me be je ga do